Hello out there, and welcome to Shannon and Craig's. So, how was your weekend? I'm here with a little title disclaimer here before we get this rolling. When we started recording the podcast, our original title was simply, How Was Your Weekend? And in the process of recording and getting this all together, someone came out with a podcast by that title, so we've slightly changed ours and simply don't have the editing skills to replace the title in the recordings that we've done. So now you know that, and here we go. Hello there, and welcome to How Was Your Weekend? Shannon and Craig here in search of interesting answers to the world's most boring question, How Was Your Weekend?
Oh man, I'm not excited about this at all. I don't know why we decided to do this one, but there's nothing like standing on a frozen lake, Shannon.
The most exciting part is the existence of Gore-Tex overalls, which neither of us own.
No. I have gone out in street clothes today, and my plan is to dig a little hole in the middle of some ice, put a line down there, pull on some things, hopefully pull things out of the hole, have a good time.
Perhaps it's now that we explain what we're talking about.
Sure.
Because that description could have made some people uncomfortable. We are going ice fishing.
What a terrible idea we have.
Horrible.
And the reason why I say this is that neither Shannon nor I really like being cold. Like, it's not pleasant to us at all.
No. I hate being cold, and therefore the first thing I researched was, why ice fishing? Oh. Why is it even a thing?
Yeah, so in the 10 minutes of research that I did, my Google search was, WTF is fun about ice fishing.
Okay, so we were along the same lines there. Yeah. So my presumption was the reason people ice fish is to drink beer. It turns out they actually advise to stay away from alcoholic beverages for safety purposes. So now it's got nothing going for it, as of now.
Right. Yeah, to fish, which is generally boring. I actually saw somewhere in my research that it was to go and have a good time with your friends. There's like inside jokes that you may know. Hang out with your spouses. I don't know why you'd want to do that. In a little cabin or sitting on a bucket.
Right.
That's a thing. And not drink.
Did you find any inside jokes that we can drop?
There is no inside jokes, but I've been trying to come up with some before we go ice fishing today.
Okay. We'll have to work on that. I always like to begin with what we're going to wear. So, of course, I had to look into that. It's pretty much common sense. Layering, layering, wool, fleece, layering, Gore-Tex, boots, layering, winter, hats.
I brought ice skates.
That was let me double check my list. That's not coming up as a requirement.
I thought that if I was going to spend some time on a frozen lake, I was at least going to start skating around so I can travel.
It's scaring me.
Making it a little bit more lively.
So maybe we should get into the fact that I've never been on ice except in an ice skating rink.
That was one of my questions as I was driving over today, whether or not you've ever even been on a frozen pond.
No, because it's terrifying, so I would never consider going ice skating on a pond or anything like that, so...
So what are you scared of? Like falling in?
Falling through the ice.
Falling through.
Especially because these ice fisher people are drilling holes all through the ice.
Right.
There's nothing safe about this. I am terrified.
Yeah. So I used to play, on ponds growing up in New England. And so we would see that there would be like auger holes, which are these, frisbee sized holes that would go into the ice. They freeze over pretty quickly, but they're definitely thinner. But you just got to make sure you stay away from them.
It's like a landmine on the pond.
Yep.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. But there is a rule for ice. And ice fishing and being on a pond.
The golden rule.
The golden rule. Did you find the golden
rule? The frozen rule?
Yeah. Did you find it?
No.
Oh. Thick and blue. Tried and true. Which means you're good to go on the ice. And then thin and crispy. Way too risky.
Oh!
Right? Very nice.
I like that.
Right. So any sort of discoloration in the ice, you could probably tell that you probably shouldn't be going over there.
But it's really just guesswork. That golden rule is all you have to go on.
Yeah.
And you just say, oh, it looks blue, let me go.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's fine.
Well, 4 inches you can walk on. If it's 4 inches thick, you can walk on. 6 inches is recommended if you're going to take an ATV. And then 12 inches if you're going to put up like a shanty or drive like your Ford F-150 on it. You got to have about 12 inches.
I find it hard to believe that we have that much ice where we're going.
I heard it was about 14. And we're doing this right on the marina of the Connecticut River. So right. We have
plenty. Is it technically the West River we're going to be on? I think it is. So here's what concerns me about that. Ice formed over flowing water and near bridges and culverts is dangerous. I don't know what a culvert is, but I know we're going to be on ice that formed over flowing water near a bridge. So I'm not psyched about that. It's not a pond. It is not safe.
Right. Yeah, no, this is. Again, there's nothing safe about this. Or, I guess, fun without drinking, although I did bring some booze.
Excellent. So, here's something else I found out. I don't know if this is reassuring or terrifying. Booming and cracking ice isn't necessarily dangerous. It's just ice expanding and contracting as the temperature changes.
Right. So if you ever hear like a crack in the ice or like where it starts to like split or crack, it's actually getting bigger.
If that's happening, I will be running away shrieking.
You'll be fine. There's a lot that you have to learn about being in New England and being on some ice.
And being outside in the winter.
Being outside in the winter. And this is my first time ice fishing, although I've had a little bit of history with fishing, but not ice fishing.
Oh, me too.
But there's a whole bunch of different ways that you can do this, from what I looked up. You can use, like, your regular normal fishing pole, right?
I have one of those.
You can do that. You can just drop a line in there and just jig that thing, which is just pulling things up and down. You use maggots. That was the best bait that I've seen.
All right.
Everyone's like, use the maggots.
I don't like to fish with bait because when I'm fishing, I have no desire whatsoever to catch a fish.
Oh.
Because I wouldn't know what to do and I would be terrified. It's really just for casting out. That's what I'm there for.
Yeah. I don't use live bait just because I don't want to stick a needle through anything.
Makes sense. Okay, so you can ice fish with a regular fishing pole.
Right. But I think what we're going to see a lot of today, especially in New England, is people fishing multiple holes, and that's called tip-up fishing.
Tip-up fishing.
Tip-up fishing. Did you catch anything on this?
No. I meant...
That's right. So tip-up fishing is kind of, you fish multiple holes because you're allowed to have, depending on the state license, you can have more than one hole being fished. Because otherwise, when you generally go fishing out in a boat or on land, you have one fishing pole and one line. But when you ice fish, I think you're allowed to have four.
So four per person.
Four per person. So if you're going with a group of people and they all have a license, say four people, that means you have 16 holes to fish. And if you use tip up, you get to stay in your shanty, look out the window. And when the line is hit, there's a flag. It goes up. It tips up. Hence, tip-up ice fishing.
So, tip-up ice fishing pretty much means you just are sitting out in the cold looking for flags to pop up.
Exactly.
You aren't actively jigging or, well, there's no casting in ice fishing, which is disappointing.
Right. You drop a hole down, or you dig a hole out, you drop a line down, that's it.
But I just came up with a new game where you stand on the ice far away from your fishing hole and then you have to try to cast and get your line in. That would be fun for me.
Yeah, that's like a circus game.
I don't think they're going to want me to do that.
No. Hmm. I don't even know if they'll have the resources to do that.
I think bring my fishing pole.
Oh, that's true. Because like I said, I think most people are doing this tip-up thing, which actually kind of looks like an artist easel or a trebuchet, which is those... French launching things.
That's a fancy word.
Right, so they're just made out of wood. There's just a reel on the end. You just drop it down, and there you go.
Oh, so it's not even attached to a fishing pole. It's its own thing.
It's its own thing. Oh, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, we'll check it out.
Oh, I do want to share the sort of great philosophical thing about ice fishing I found that I really appreciated. An article I read said it is the great equalizer among fishermen, or fisher people, because when it's not ice fishing, there are the haves and the have-nots. If you have a boat, you have much greater access to fishing than someone who's stuck on the land with their fishing pole. Huh. So ice fishing levels the playing field.
Levels the playing field.
Which I thought was pretty interesting.
Oh, well, that brings up a counterpoint to that, which is there's some high-tech stuff going into ice fishing now. A lot of advanced fish finding. So you can actually drop a fish finder down into the ice, get the depth, if there's any fish around, and then mark your hole and drop a line down into it. So this isn't a guessing game.
There's legitimate technology
involved. There's technology involved, and it's evolving, again, with the Gore-Tex and the boots and the layering. The same way with how to fish.
I'm curious to know if people are beefing all the time about where they're getting to put their holes. Like, I know lobster people, they will get into territory wars over where they're dropping their lobster traps, so I would imagine there might be some of that same drama going on.
I'm sure. And it probably depends on what kind of fish you're going for. So if you're going to go into the more shallow, around the edges of this, you're going to be pulling up things like bluegill and perch, whereas if you're going to be like going a little bit deeper, you're going to be pulling up things like crappie and trout.
How do you know the names of all these fish?
I did some really great 10 minutes of research. Wow. Also, those are things I would go for in the springtime.
Oh, see, you're talking to someone that's never going for fish, that once had the misfortune of catching a sea robin on Cape Cod.
Google that if you've never seen it. I didn't believe that those things existed, and then she told me.
There's nothing more ugly and terrifying, and the sight of that fish is burned into my memory, and I never want to see another fish on the end of my fishing pole.
But we're going.
We are.
So let's take a break and let's talk about our expectations of what is going to happen next. Hey, welcome back to How Was Your Weekend? This is Craig and Shannon. Talk to you about ice fishing today. We have already gone over what our misconceptions were, and we're about to actually head out onto the ice. But there's a couple of other things that we want to talk about that are just out there, and I got to get it off my chest. There's a lot of stuff about ice fishing that I've seen or heard about that comes a lot from pop culture. Grumpy Old Men is certainly one of them. So they have a shanty war.
It's like the beef that I was talking about.
It's mad beef.
They have shanty beef?
Shanty beef. And actually, what we're going to go out today is that we're not going to be outside on the lake. We're not going to, don't worry about falling through any ice. We are actually going to be in a shanty that a couple of our friends own, and they're going to be out there, husband and wife team. And we're going to be fishing with them, but they have built a very nice shanty.
So when you're talking about this shanty and they've built this shanty, I have no conception of what this could be, because I picture it being something on the ice about the size of a porta potty that just grumpy old men sit in all day.
Right. Much bigger. This is a very small house. Maybe like a 12 by 12, an 8 by 12. Sometimes they're even smaller, where it is just a little bit larger than a porta potty. But inside there are things like, you know, you can have solar electricity. You can have a small little stove to heat up your area with.
But isn't that going to melt the ice?
No, it only makes it stronger.
Are you joking?
I don't know.
I don't see how you could heat your shanty safely.
It happens. Anyway, sometimes that there's a hole in the middle that you've augured out that you just watched for that tip to pop up. And other times you just look out the windows and check out the stuff. But they get pretty sophisticated. And this one is actually designed to look like their mainland house.
No way.
Yes.
So they're really into it.
They have matched their shanty to what their regular house looks like. So it's very fun.
But it is on the ice, correct?
It's on the ice. They bring it out there as soon as it gets to be 12 to 14 inches thick.
On a trailer?
they bring it out on a trailer. It kind of goes out on a sled, and you drag it on out there with a four-wheeler or your truck. You drop it off, and you pick it up at the end of the season. So
I would imagine if you're really into this, it is quite an expensive hobby.
Yeah. Yeah. You could sit on a bucket if you want to.
Right. You could be shantyless.
You could be shantyless.
You could be the hobo of ice fishing.
That's right.
If you wanted to.
Right. And I guess that's where the elitist sport comes in. You could either be warm in a nice shanty, which is probably nicer than my house, or you could sit on a bucket. I don't know. But either way, today's a really good day to go because the temperature outside on my way over was about 15 degrees. It's going to warm up a little bit. The best time to go ice fishing, 32 degrees at freezing and 20 degrees.
That's when the fish are biting?
No, has to do with the ice.
Oh.
Because after a while, of course, that ice that you've augered out will then refreeze over and then the lines will get stuck or whatever. So what you have to do is actually, if you're fishing multiple holes, you know, if you're a pimp around the ice, you have to go and tag those holes and like stab them out.
You have to keep chiseling
them. You have to chisel them out so there's like fresh water coming in there so the lines don't get caught and stuck.
Do you have any sense of how often people catch stuff?
I can't.
Or is it more of just,
like,
they enjoy spending their time on the frozen lake? Or are they really feeding themselves for the winter with the fish they're catching? I guess we'll have to find out.
I guess we will have to find out. But, yeah, I can't imagine that it's any more so than fishing in a boat. You know?
Yeah, and people have varying degrees of success with that.
Right. It's all about location.
But I understand fishing for the fun of the sport and not caring about catching anything when it's nice outside. I can't imagine sitting out there all day and not catching anything and being freezing. But apparently we're going to the Shanty of Shanties, and we are really going to be spoiled, it sounds like.
Yep. We are going to enter the subculture of the fishing world, and we are just going to...
We're going to be super bougie ice fisher people.
That's true. Yeah, they're going to be like, they don't belong here. Why is that kid on skates? And speaking of that, I did bring some booze. I know we're not supposed to, but I had some extra cans kicking around in my mini fridge that I wanted to get rid of and also sort of play a little bit of a prank. I brought some mango Bud Light things. I don't remember what they're called.
Mangoritas.
Oh, I'm going to sip on a couple 8 ounces of those and go on my way.
I recently had a particularly desperate situation where I sampled some strawberritas. So I can stomach this.
I do believe Bud Light is delicious, though, in case you want to send us anything.
And Budweiser. America.
America.
All the time.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I am ready to put on my long underwear and head out to the shanty.
I have one more thing.
You got it.
15 minutes is the longest amount of time a human being can survive in the water of a frigid pond.
That's why you should never fish alone. That was some of the advice that I got. Never fish alone. Go out with friends, let people know where you're going, because ice is unpredictable.
If I end up in the waters of the frigid river, do you think you can extract me in 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I've seen a lot of survival television shows.
Okay. As long as you've seen it enough on TV, I'm sure you can accomplish it.
All right. So we're going to go and freeze and drink, and we will see you guys later.
Well, well, well. Hello. It is How Was Your Weekend? Shannon and Craig here, and we just returned from a glorious adventure. Ice fishing.
It's true. How do you feel? I feel great. How do you feel?
I feel great. I was terrified. I thought this was going to just be cold and miserable and suck in ways I couldn't even imagine, and it was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, I think we need to kick it back a little bit to our pre-recording and talk about what exactly you wore and what exactly I wore and talk about how that changed the day, I think.
I think that is true. preparation is everything and layering is everything. At the last minute, I changed into what seemed like ridiculously thick wool socks to put under my boots. Kept my feet warm for, what were we there for? 2.5, 3 hours?
Yeah.
We were there for quite a while. Snow pants, which felt a little ridiculous. I pretty much dressed up as though I was going snowboarding.
And your feet stayed warm the whole time? That was no issue for you? Okay. All right.
No issue.
Good.
And you definitely won the outfit
situation. I won the outfit situation. I took the opportunity to be on a frozen lake, got my long, very warm socks on, and then put skates on. So I was able to skate around the lake, and which was actually really good in a couple ways. One, it kept my feet off the ice, so I wasn't cold at all. But also, it made for a really good time. I felt like I was a hockey player the whole time.
I was so jealous of your ice skates.
It was really fun.
I was wearing these things that you strap onto the bottom of your boots that actually help you stick into the ice. And all I wanted was to be frictionless and skating around.
Yeah. It was like I did 2 podcasts in one. How's ice skating? And then also ice fishing. And it was great.
Yeah. You were having multiple levels of fun.
Yeah. So I was dressed like I was going to the mountain as well, plus the ice skates. And I was totally fine. And I think we showed up, it was 20 degrees, so we were just at, it was pretty cold.
I think we should also talk about your gloves.
My gloves were great. They were super orange.
Neon of neon.
Neon of neon, and I got them for $5 from a discount store.
They're rubber.
They're rubber, oh yeah.
They look like the gloves you wash dishes with. Mm. Or murder and clean up after with.
Or take fish off of hooks, because I did that a couple of times.
Yes, you did.
Barehanded. I also stuck my thumb in a fish mouth, and I also de-hooked one as well, because we're having some trouble getting it out. So, when did that?
I touched 0 fish. I saw many fish flopping about, and I screeched a lot when they would flop.
Unexpectedly.
And that was about the extent of my interaction.
Yeah, you
with
would
the
think
fish.
That they were dead for at least 15 minutes and then one would just like shoot up and flap around.
Yeah. So should we talk about, what should we talk about first?
I think we should talk about what happened. Start to finish. Let's get going. So Shanty. Oh no.
Pre-Shanty. Race.
We did have a race. You were in your crampons.
Or strap-ons, or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, and I was in my skates. Shannon had a head start running across the pond, and...
Well, I wouldn't call it a head start. It was a test to see whether it's more efficient to, you know, take the time to put on your ice skates and skate out to your shanty versus just hoofing it across in your boots.
Yeah, you had a pretty good mom run pace going out there. Didn't fall. Neither did I, but I won at the end.
You did. And this was my first time stepping onto ice, and I was extremely terrified at first, because despite the fact that the ice is apparently very thick, it still has a substantial amount of cracks. And then I thought, let me get to the edge of, like, the river or the pond or whatever we're on. It turns out that ice is even thinner over there, whatever the golden rule is. It was crackly and unsafe, so then I had to run away from that toward the middle, and people's old fishing holes are partially dug in and partially frozen, and it was a little nerve-wracking, that first run out there.
I did find it particularly funny that you did stay within probably 30 feet of the shore as you ran out, because the shanty we were going to was directly sort of like in the middle of this lake, and Shannon was going nowhere towards it, so I thought maybe I was going to the wrong place, and I was like, no, it's the white shanty with the American flag out. I don't know where she's going, but then you took a pretty hard right angle turn.
Yeah, once I saw like melting ice and realized that the edge is not in any way safe, I headed for deeper waters.
But you did a
and
nice
thicker
job.
Ice.
Yep. So we ended up going there. There was a husband and wife that we knew who owned this shanty. So we were greeted. We quickly got into drinking.
Immediately
got into drinking, and my Bud Light watermelon Ritas flowed like water.
Yes. Very hydrating.
Very hydrating. So I think that that's probably a pretty strong allure of going out there, even though it is not recommended to drink and fish.
That's what I thought. I thought that's what it was all about. And then when I saw it's considered unsafe to mix ice fishing with drinking, I was completely perplexed as to why anyone would do this. But turns out everybody's getting their drink on.
Everybody.
10:30 a.m., beers are cracked.
Yeah.
It's on.
Hanging out. So we went to the shanty. We saw sort of like the inside. There was heat in the inside. There was
propane heater,
country music playing, which I didn't mind. It was an old song that I liked from probably circa 1993. So I enjoyed that quite a bit. And then we went out and sort of just watched there was 16 holes that we were watching at any certain time. There were the tip ups.
Yes. And they really do kind of look like a paint easel in a way. That was a good description.
Yeah, they sort of fold up into each other and all the other fun stuff, but pretty simple. It's like three sticks, a reel with some braided nylon stuff on there. On the end there's a hook. You bait it with some fish, which apparently is what they were doing, and they had been doing.
Teeny tiny fish bait,
not maggots.
No.
So I was out of my league there. Yeah, and so they were baiting them for that. So
I thought it would be more high tech than it was.
I did get the inside scoop.
Did you?
So these folks that we went and visited, they had like shanty neighbors and hole neighbors. I don't know what they would hole mates.
Oh,
hole mates. There yeah. you go. Yeah. So people who go around, like shanties who stay out there obviously all winter, and they'll move them around from place to place. But so they said that when they went to other lakes and ponds where they weren't quite sure of what the bottom terrain looked like, they would actually use fish finders and depths. But for here, where it's like kind of like their home course, they know what the depths are. And so they laid out where they thought they should be and the depth that they wanted to be and sort of knew what the layout was. So they didn't need it. Less high-tech. Although we did see a very high-tech tent.
Yes.
Shanty. I apologize. That looked much like a tent.
It looks like a tent. We also saw a high-tech hole. What would you call it?
An auger.
It's called an auger?
It's an auger.
That's the name of the tool? Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah.
So it looks like a huge drill, and it puts a hole in the ice. It's, what, maybe a foot width?
10 inches.
10-inch width. But it's so cool because you get to watch this big drill dig through. We were on about 12 inches of ice, I would say. And once it busts through, there's like an explosion of water out of the hole and it comes flooding out. And I was apparently shrieking when that was happening. And our friend who was drilling the hole was like, "What is all the screaming about?" Like, he thought something bad had happened. But
nicely done.
Yeah, I just shriek sometimes when I see new things.
Right, and the electric auger I found as I was asking questions from other fishermen around is that the electric auger was kind of like the biggest jump in technology in like the last 30, 35 years. So before it was always like a hand auger, which you'd have to just do by hand, but now there's a motorized auger, and that's like been the biggest change. But the poles, the fish, the way you do it, has all pretty much stayed consistent, but it's like the motorized part.
If you had a few strips of wood, you could make yourself, what is it called? The tip-up
holes.
Apparatus. Oh, yeah. You could totally make one of those.
Pretty
like
simple.
Boy Scouts could make those. But the hole drilling took about 5 seconds, but I can't even imagine how long it would take to hand drill each hole.
Right, or to chip out or chisel, and saws were the other way to do it. So you could saw out a nice little area. And we heard Chucky, who is one of the guys that we're fishing with, he said that he made like a live trap for them. So to keep the fish alive longer, he actually cut out a nice little section of ice, which he would keep the fish that he caught in instead of just leaving them on the ice to freeze.
Like a natural cooler.
A natural cooler.
Yeah. Can we talk about what happens when a fish gets caught? Because I didn't love this.
Sure. But why don't we come back to that?
Okay.
We'll talk about dead fish after the break.
Okay.
Segment of this podcast, and really we're talking about how you catch fish, our impressions of ice fishing, and how our lives have been changed
for the better
or worse, depending on your experiences with the fish being caught.
True.
So
we'll get into
that. Yeah, look them in the eye. Yep. So ice fishing, here's how it happens. You get an auger, which we talked about earlier. You drill a hole in, whether it's by an auger, which is motorized, or hand drill, or you chisel it out somehow. You stick your tip up.
That's never going to get old.
Stick your tip up in the hole, which is equipped with a braided nylon line with a hook on the end, generally baited with some sort of fish or insect or bug, like a maggot.
And the braided nylon line is important. An important distinction over the typical kind of plastic fishing line you're used to.
Right, because you're able to tug it. There are no reels on these poles at all. Like, you don't pull this thing out and start reeling away and start cranking. No, you're actually, like, hand-dragging these fish out. So what happens is you're sitting around, hanging out, talking with your friends.
Drinking a margarita Bud Light thing at 10:30 a.m.
Delicious.
Yeah.
And you are scanning the ice for any flags that go up on your tip-up. So an orange flag will go on up and it'll say, oh, there's a tip-up. Right. And you go and check the hole.
It does not make a lot of noise when the flag goes up, so you actually have to be pretty vigilant about watching.
Right. So you run over there. In my case, I skated over there, and you...
So jealous.
Ran over.
Or mom ran, as mom you like ran. To say.
Well, everybody mom runs on ice. But... so you go on over there, and what you do, the first thing you do is you kind of, like, look to see through the ice. You can see through it's about 6 inches down on which direction the reel and the fish is going. So as you see if it's going left or right, you sort of turn the reel in that direction that they're going to let them swim out a little bit with it. Maybe just enjoy that dead fish for a little bit longer. And you pull out, actually, it's actually a two-person job. You pull out the tip up, and as the other person holds on to the line, waits for it to stop, and then you set the hook, which is just like a quick tug. Set the hook in its mouth, and you should be all set. Right?
Yes.
Just hook through fish flesh. At that point, you will know if you've hooked it or not, because it'll be probably a tug, and there's a little bit of weight on the end, and you just start pulling on back. That first person who got the tip up out of the way will sort of take your line away from you so you don't trip on it, fall into the hole, and then eventually, when it gets close enough, that braided line will turn into that clear plastic fishing line that I guess we're all used to, and then you know that you get about a foot and a half, and you're going to see a fish.
A real live fish.
Real live fish.
A flippity floppity fish. Flippity floppity fish.
Yep. And we were actually, I guess, pretty successful on the day. I think we pulled in, not we as in you and I, because we're not licensed. So you need to make sure that you have a license, whether it is in your home state or you are a non-resident. Make sure you get a fishing license.
Yeah.
But we watched these folks pull some stuff in, and actually we saw a very nice, they kept saying crappie, but it's crappie. C-R-A-P-P-I-E, the kind of fish that they pulled in.
There were a few of those,
but one of them seemed to be oversized where they could submit it to the state and saying, hey, we caught a big enough fish, submit it in there with a picture of the fish and a ruler, and they get a certificate.
Yeah. Who knew there were certificates involved?
Yeah.
And even little prizes, too, from what I understand.
Yeah, little prizes. And last year, the same folks that we were going with caught the biggest... Ooh, I forget the word right now.
The type of fish?
The type of fish it was. Anyways, they caught the biggest one in the state.
Yes, so we've met another champion of something in our travels.
Yep. For ice fishing. So they reeled in the largest one last year. But...
So today they caught a few... Crappies? I don't like saying that.
I definitely don't like saying that.
Some perch.
Bass.
I could not believe they caught a bass.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Yeah. All roughly around the same size, some ranging between 12 and 15 inches.
The bass had to go back in. It was not regulation size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
so we pulled them out. We got our hands on it.
We witnessed other people pulling them out.
Right, yes. Mostly. We did not. I did take one and de-hook it. And that was the bass. That was the last bass that we had because it was hooked pretty good. Grabbed it, de-hooked it, and then from there...
You just drop it on the ice.
Right.
That's what you do. You unhook it and you drop it on the ice. And I found that to be very strange. But all of the ice fisher people seemed to indicate that's the status quo. When they were pulling them up, I said, well, shouldn't we slam it against the ice to knock it out and put it out of its misery? Is there something that we should do? And the answer was no. You just drop it in the ice and I guess it slowly dies. The people we were with claimed, you know, they don't have the same feelings we have. It's not like the same thing as leaving a human on the ice to slowly die, I guess. But that made me uncomfortable, watching flopping fish slowly stop flopping and die.
And be cold. I mean, it's gotta be cold on the ice. Like they're miserable beyond like not being able to breathe or whatever they kind of do to live, but also just be like, God, it's cold. Yeah. So that's the thing.
That was really, I guess I loved all of it except for the actual fish part, which is not much different from my feelings about warm weather fishing.
Yeah.
I love everything about it except actually catching a fish. What did you think?
Yeah, it didn't mind me so much. When I fish, I go catch and release, but still, like, the worst part is it is actually hooking a fish. It's like stabbing someone and be like, oh, stabbed it, go on your way. Like, it still happened. Like, I didn't finish the job, but still. I mean, not that I've ever stabbed somebody, but still, putting a hook through somebody, and as I've put a hook through myself, is traumatic enough, but still, yeah. I'm a catch and release guy. These guys are catch and eat. And they actually talked about grilling them up at some point in time. Like, sometimes I just grill them up on site. They have a little gas portable stove, a little bit of olive oil. You got those things, you fry them up, you got a nice filet.
I will say, if you're going to eat fish, then I think it's cool to catch your own fish and eat it, as opposed to buying frozen fish fillets from your local supermarket. Like, I think that I feel better about people catching their own fish, even though I don't necessarily like watching them flop around and die.
Right.
But I feel like if you've done that, you've earned your right to eat the fish a little bit more. Right.
And there's no fish fraud involved.
No fish fraud.
No freshwater fish, no fish fraud. You're there to identify it. You know exactly what it is. There's a whole big thing. If you haven't listened to the podcast Stuff You Should Know, there's a very nice fish fraud episode which goes through just everything. Just how much millions and billions of dollars goes into fish fraud worldwide.
How the middleman really can mess with your whole fish situation.
But not when you're shanty living.
True that.
Yeah. Well, I gotta say, I had a great time.
Me too. And we were invited back. Apparently, evening time is where the party is really at.
It's gotta be hard to see those flags.
Yeah. I think at that point, it's more about the Bud Lights and the country music than the fish catching would be what I would think. We'll have to go back and find out.
Yeah, but I would definitely go again. Had a great time. I don't know what else I could improve on. I think we had a really nice day. Good first impressions. I would suggest if you see anything around you, if you live in the Northeast or wherever you live where it's cold and there's frozen ponds, there's a fishing derby, you see some shanties out, you know someone who has a shanty or even a bucket. We saw an ATV out there.
Yeah, it's a whole world. There's a whole world out there on the ice that I never knew existed.
Subculture of fishing. Yes. I would suggest going out there. Just experience it and you'll probably want to go back.
You could just skate around and observe. You don't even have to talk to people, really.
Yes, bring your skates 100%.
That's my main takeaway. Next time, bring skates.
I'm bringing more alcohol.
All right. We've got ourselves a plan.
And maybe a hockey stick, because I feel like that would be like my other thing. I just want to like maybe hockey puck a fish around.
That's what I was thinking. Put it out of its misery a little more quickly.
Yeah, just slap shot it. So I think that's it. I got nothing else except I had a really great time, and I kind of hope that the ice stays thick for a couple more weeks so we can get back out there and bring a full keg.
Agreed.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for listening to Shannon and Craig's So, How Was Your Weekend? We want to hear from you. Get in touch with us, send us your feedback, and most importantly, send us some suggestions for what we should do this weekend. I'm going to give you some contact information. Here's the big thing you need to know. The word weekend, we're spelling WKND because we're trying to be hip. So, email howwasyourweekend@gmail.com. And you can hit us up on that Twitter @howwasyourweekend. Looking forward to hearing from you. Thanks.